Tonight we're going to discuss the challenging topic of Borer, which is sorting. I doubt we'll finish it in one session, but that has a lot to do with preparing your meals, eating your meals, cleaning up for your meals, and setting up for your meals. So we'll take it slow. We'll get the main ideas. At the end, there's going to be lots of examples. I think this goes for about 12 pages.
It is 12.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, I'm trying to make big prints. Everybody can...
I love it.
Can see it. You know, when we were younger, we could use smaller prints. But now...
Thank you.
Bigger print works better for us, huh? All right, let's define what Borer is. It's one of the 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos. And it's called, it's definitely, concept is sorting. What does it mean? Taking out one variety from another. You've got a bunch of things mixed together. In the, when they built the temple, one of the last processes of harvesting is even you thresh and winnow, but then there's still some pebbles or something stuck in the grain, and you have to take the pebbles out of the grain, and that is borer. That is selecting. So that will apply to selecting. Even one item from a mixture is prohibited. Now, the main idea of borer, and that's the one you got to remember, is there's three simple rules. We'll say the three rules the negative way, and then we'll say the three rules the positive way. If you get the three rules down, then you just got to understand how to apply the three rules. So we're going to start from the negative end. One violates Borer on a biblical level in any one of three ways. The common factor between all of them is that such is the normal way Borer is done during the weekday. In other words, when people sort things on the weekday, they usually do it in any one of these three ways, and that cannot be done on Shabbos. First way, separating refuse from food. Refuse is known as psolet, from food, from ochel. When you're taking the stuff you don't want, normally, how do you select? You're taking the thing you don't want. For example, when you have the crops that you've harvested, the wheat, you want to take out the stones from outside of the wheat. That's the way you normally do borer. You're trying to get rid of the stuff you don't want. Okay, that is one of the main parts of what borer is. Even if one takes the food with one's hands and you intend to eat it immediately, it doesn't matter. One still violates borer on a biblical level when you are removing the thing you don't want from the thing you do want. Okay, there's all kinds of examples of that. Okay, but that's the simple meaning. Let's just say you've got a chicken with a bone, and you just want to take the bone out of the chicken, and you just take the bone right out. Can't do that. Okay? Let's say you have fish. Now, what does fish have?
Bones.
So I don't know how you eat fish. You know, there's people who are real skillful at eating fish, people less skillful at eating fish. But how do you normally eat fish with bones in it? How do you eat it? Chanoch, normally, forget about Shabbos. Forget about Shabbos. Do you eat fish? The Indians eat fish? So, what kind, you have fish with bones? Okay, so here's the plate in front of you, okay? Imagine that's fish in front of you with bones. Okay, you got a fork and a knife. What are you going to do?
Separate the bones from the...
I'm sorry?
You separate the bones, take out the bones from the...
You're going to take your fork, go in there, take the bone out, right? Okay, you do that, you have transgressed. Okay, that's exactly what you're taking the bone out. Can't do that. Okay, so you're going to say, oh no, that means I can't have fish? Of course you can have fish, you just have to know how to do it. All right, but that's a classic example. This is one of the main reasons why Ashkenazic Jews have gefilte fish. The whole reason for gefilte fish is it's been deboned. So there's no bones to remove from gefilte fish. It's not because we like gefilte fish necessarily. We've learned to like gefilte fish. But it was out of necessity, so you don't have to worry about what you're eating. Okay? So that's one. Just taking the bad out from the good. Okay, number two, separating with a utensil used for separating, such as a strainer or a sieve, is a violation of bor. Using a specific utensil that sorts for you. Okay, so if you are, you've got something mixed together, and now you want to strain it and just put it into a strainer, and you just keep the stuff you're straining on the top, and there's there. That would be violating borer as well, even if one takes the food from the refuse for immediate use, even if you're going to be taking the food instead of the refuse, and right away, still you transgress. Third way you transgress is separating to eat the food, even though you're not using a special utensil. You're taking the food out from the refuse, but you're not eating it right away. You still transgress. So that's the negative way of looking at it. So let's look at it the positive way. So therefore, the positive way is you must have three factors all at the same time in order to be able to separate or select. And this is the permitted way to separate. Okay, you have to have all three, not two out of three, all three. And that's what you got to memorize, that rule. Once you memorize the rule, then just ask yourself, how does this fit into the rule? Number one, you must separate what you want, the ochel, the food, from what you don't want, the pesolas. We'll see shortly. It's not necessarily inedible food is the pesolet. It could be very good food that is the pesolet, but you just don't want it. So it's separating what you want from what you don't want, number one. Number two, you must separate with your hand. We'll see, there'll be a little extensions of that, but basically with your hand, you must separate for immediate use or just prior to a meal. The amount of time it takes to prepare the food, as I mentioned in the past. So those are the three golden rules. You have to commit it to memory. Ochel mitoch psolet. The food you want to eat is being taken out from what you don't want to have. Biyad, in your hand. Miyad, immediately. If you have those three, then you are allowed to separate. Okay? Yes?
So if you have a plate of food and there's something you don't want it, you actually have to take your hand in front of all your guests and
So we're not finished yet.
Okay, sorry.
But there are some other things we're going to talk about over here. But I'm giving you the basic rule. The basic rule. You don't have to eat with your hands. There's ways to do it. But we will see. Now, the extension of this rule, number C, it's not just for you. You can do this for other people as well, even if you're not going to be eating it. You can do it for someone else. One is permitted to separate for other people, even if you're not eating the food, as long as one does it for immediate use with one's hand and food from the refuse. So as long as they have that rule, let's say I'm a waiter. So I'm not eating it. So what am I doing it for? Because I'm preparing a meal for everybody. Everyone's going to eat at the meal. I'm the maid. I'm the Jewish maid, the Jewish butler. And my job is to make sure the meal is ready for everybody. I don't eat at this meal. I eat downstairs in the basement with the other maids, right? So that's still okay as long as you follow the three rules. One is permitted to separate for guests or peel fruits enough food that it should be presentable, even if one knows that not all the food will be eaten. Now we extend this. How about, you're going to have some guests. Like very few of us put exactly enough food on the serving tray. If you have six guests, most of us don't put six pieces of chicken, right? You might put 8, 10 pieces of chicken and or whatever, and you've engaged in some kind of permitted sorting, but it's more than what needs to be eaten immediately at the next meal. So we might think maybe you can only sort exactly how much is going to be eaten at this meal, because if it's not the part that's not eaten, you've sorted it and it's not being eaten right away. That's not a problem, because the normal way you prepare food is you prepare more food than what you need. And number three, it's permitted Anyone who has pets? Anyone has a pet?
Yes.
Okay, a pet is not you, so you could prepare for other people. You could prepare for your pets on Shabbos. It's permitted to separate for animals as long as it's for immediate use with one's hand and one separates the food from the refuse.
That was my next question.
Okay, so now you can do all that for people, all that for animals, all that for your guests, even if it's going to be more than what you need for the meal. That's all acceptable ways. Now what we're going to do is go through the three conditions you have to have, and we're going to now expand and define how far these three go and what the definitions are. That's what we call clarification of the first condition that you're required to have. Ochel mitoch psoles. You're taking the food from. And again, why are these three conditions necessary? Because these three ways are not the way we normally sort on a regular weekday. We normally use specific utensils that are designed for that. We usually do it for a longer period of time, not for meaty. When you separate pebbles from the flour, so you want the flour for a long-term basis, not for right away, okay? And you usually are separating what you don't want from what you do want. So here we're doing the exact opposite. You're separating what you do want from what you don't want. You're for immediate use, and you're not using a specially designated utensil. So let's clarify the first condition of ochel mitoch psoles. Okay, it's permissible to remove all the refuse together with a piece of good food. Is that, oh,
it's back now.
You got to let me know. Okay, so let's say like this. Let's say you have a fly in your soup. Does the old waiter, is a fly in my soup, but it's on Shabbos. Okay, there's a fly in your soup, a fly in your wine, a fly in your drink, a little, and we're talking about people who will continue to eat or drink it. So if you don't like flies, how about a little something, a leaf. You had flowers on the table, a little leaf fell in your soup. That's not so gross. A nice leaf just fell into the soup. Okay, now what would you like to do? You'd like to remove that from the soup. Now wait a minute, you're going to remove that from the soup. So what are you removing? What you want or what you don't want?
What you don't want.
That's how you got a problem. Even if you're eating the soup right away, even if you're not using a specialized utensil, even if you're going to take your hand and put it right in and take the fly out, the problem is you're taking the bad from the good. So how are you going to get that done? So the answer is, as long as you take out some of the food as well, then you're not really separating the bad from the good, because the bad is still with the good. So let's say you've got a fly in the soup over here. So I'm taking the spoon. The spoon's going in, and the spoon's taking a generous amount, what fits into the spoon, soup, and a fly. So what happened? Before there was a fly in the liquid. Now what do you have? A fly in the liquid. So I really have not separated the fly from the liquid. I've just made it a smaller amount of fly with the liquid. So this is a very important rule. So this is not totally taking the refuse out from the solid. And that will be convenient in any kind of case you would like to deal with. Let's say you want to, trim a little fat off of your meat. Okay, could you do that? Trim the fat off the meat on Shabbos? Well, you'd think you couldn't, because the fat is what you don't want, and that is borer. You're taking away the bad. So, but if you cut the fat and a little bit, that could be expensive, but a little bit of the meat gets cut off together with the fat, so it's still the fat and the meat, so you're not only separating. System working? It's like flashing like crazy, I could tell. So therefore, you're separating some of the bad with some of the good, and you're remaining with bad and good. That's an expensive way to do this. We'll find cheaper ways to do this, okay? But I'm just giving you examples where as long as you're taking the bad with some of the good, it's okay. Let's have another example. Let's say you're going to serve some soup. And you're going to rely on Rav Avadya Yosef's heter. Remember, how are you going to have cold soup on Shabbos in the day? Remember? Or your what was the food you liked, the Indian food? You were so sad you thought you weren't going to have it. Who?
The curry.
Curry, whatever. But it was liquid. How did we get, what was the way to do it? What was the lenient say? Do you remember?
Yeah, put it before you can, the hot plate starts.
Put a hot plate on a timer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you could put it on. Okay, so let's just take an example. Let's say it's a chicken soup. Okay, it's a chicken soup. Now, when you take the chicken soup out of the fridge, what are you going to have?
Fat
floating at the top. Now, do you want the fat floating at the top? No. I'm going to take the fat off of the top. No, I can't. Because if I'm taking off the fat, that's separating the bad from the good. How could I take away the fat? Take a little bit more, and usually whenever you take the fat off, you got to take some soup off. So since you're separating the soup from the fat, then that's okay. And then you put it on the timer. When the timer turns it on, then it warms up the soup, and then you're okay. So I'm giving you a number of examples that even though, so here, you have to understand, the rule is you can't take the bad from the good. But if I'm taking the bad and the good, so that's not called taking the bad from the good. It's taking the bad from the good and just reallocating it, so to speak. So that does not go. Now, you've got to keep the other two factors. You can't use a specialized instrument, and you can't. It has to be for right away, okay? Then you'll be okay with that. So right away would be, you know, right before the meal or the time it would take to have it served right before the meal. Yeah.
Just stick our hand in the soup.
I didn't know. I said you could put the spoon in.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that in a minute. We have that's which one of the categories is that? That's the second category. So we're going to have to give some clarifications of the second category. We're only clarifying the first category right now. Now, how about another example? We're going to see shortly, you know, eating watermelons is a very interesting situation, which we will get to in great detail, and I'm not going to give you all the details now, but I'll just give you one idea. When you have a watermelon, that's why really observant Jews will buy seedless watermelons to avoid the issue. But if you have seeds in your watermelon, there is a school of thought that would suggest you can't remove the seeds from the watermelon because that's clearly removing the bad from the good. Okay, notwithstanding that, we'll discuss many possible options, but what if you say, okay, I can't do that, so I'm just going to take a chunk. I'll cut a chunk of the watermelon with two or three seeds in it, put it in my mouth, and then wait a minute. And when I separate it, now take it out of my mouth, I'm separating the bad from the good. Do I have to swallow it? So no. If one has food in one's mouth, one may remove what you don't want from your mouth of what you don't want, because that's not called separating the bad from the good. That's just called spitting out. So that's not separating. Separating is when it's out on a table or something. Once I put the whole thing in my mouth, that's not called separating. Separating is done like with your hands. We don't call separating with your mouth. Now, that could be one way to deal with that, although it's not the most etiquette way. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in the non-Jewish world when they have big picnics in the summer and they have watermelons. And I guess some people just eat the seeds, you know. Or many people try to poke the holes. But, you know, when you poke the seeds out of there, you got very Swiss cheese watermelon. It's not so attractive either. But anyway, so this is one way. If you just eat it all and just take the seed out, you know, then that would be okay, because that would not be considered separating with the bad from the good. Here's another very important thing. If a food has a peel that covers it entirely. Now, there's no way I could eat this. I mean, what am I going to do? If you have a banana, well, I guess I have to eat the peel. That's the only way. I'm going to eat the whole thing with the peel and then no, that's not normal. You can't do that. So if a food has a peel that covers it entirely, one may remove the part that's unwanted from the part that's desired, because this is called there is no other way. In other words, it's not, although you are separating the bad from the good, but you're really just trying to move the bad out of the way. See, separating is you got both in front of you. You're picking one out from the other. when it's got a peel, it's not picking one out from the other. It's the out is just in the way. And I'm trying to reveal what I'm trying to have. You understand? That's not called sorting. You can't say I'm... If you got a number of things together, you've got some fat and some meat, and they're together, so I'm sorting. I'm taking the meat out. I'm separating the meat out. But you can't say you're separating a peel from the banana when it's the banana's engulfed in the peel. You're just revealing the banana. That's not called sorting. However, you still have to have those other categories. It's got to be right before the meal and with your hand. Okay? Now, where? How about another case where it's impossible to separate the food from the waste, then it's permitted to take out the waste when it's impossible. What's an example of that? Let's say you cut up a cantaloupe, and inside the cantaloupe are all those yummy seeds, right, that nobody wants to eat. Now, how can I eat the cantaloupe? You know, it's just now, as soon as I dig into the cantaloupe, boom, there's seeds there. So in that case, you can scoop the seeds out and leave the fruit because it's impossible to eat it any other way. Some apply this to the watermelon idea, not all. And they say, what do you mean? You could just take the seeds out first. But here, you know, they say, you know, eat it and spit it out. But with the, that's one seed here, one seed there. But with the cantaloupe, it's like a ton of seeds in one spot. It's not something you could just, you know, you just can't do it that way. So therefore, you can put that out. So that is one clarification. Now, further extension of taking refuse from the food. It's forbidden to separate by taking the refuse from the food. It is forbidden even when it's done with one hand. Even with one, you think, well, maybe one hand is not a regular way. You usually need two hands. No, one hand is still not good if you're taking the bad from the good. One violates Borah by taking the refuse from the food, even if one only separated a portion of the refuse and didn't completely remove it. What if you've got a thing you don't want? Let's say you've got five flies in your food, okay? So, or something you don't want, or you got lots of fat on your meat. Lots of fat on your meat. So I might mistakenly think I have to remove all the bad and just leave the good, and that's how I transgress. No, even if you remove just a little bit of what you don't want, and even though you've left some of what you don't want, you still transgress. You might think, well, I only should be guilty if I did the whole job. I got rid of all the psolet. And if I left part of it, let's say half it, I haven't transgressed. No, as long as you remove any amount, you've already transgressed. So for those who would say you couldn't separate, you know, the seeds from the watermelon, if you take one, if you'd say it was wrong, that even one seed should be a problem. It's not that you have to take all the seeds out. Okay? And it's forbidden to separate refuse from food, even if the refuse is slightly edible. That you could really eat it, possibly. We're going to see shortly, refuse is not only stuff that's bad. It could even be edible things, as we'll see shortly. As we'll see in Rule F, this expands what the term psolet is. We might think psolet is like junk, a rock, a fly, fat, things like that. Yuck, I'll never eat it. Not so. You see the next thing over here. If there are two foods that are mixed, foods, they're both good foods, yummy foods you could eat. They're very healthy, both of them. And one wants to eat one now and not the other. Only want one and not the other. The one he wants to eat now is called the food. And the unwanted one is called the refuse. And so it's forbidden to take the unwanted one from the other. For example, if almonds and walnuts, you have, a trail mix. Or a nut mix, what do you call it? Nut cocktail, whatever they call it, right? So you've got peanuts, almonds, cashews, this and that. Okay, and you hate cashews. They're very good. You just hate cashews. I mean, everybody else on the table likes cashews. You don't like them. Or you really like cashews. I'm just not in the mood for cashews right now. I really want peanuts. That's what I really want. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the cashews out. Now, would you say cashews are refuse? It's not refuse. But in the context of me eating now, Is it quote unquote refuse compared to the peanuts I want to eat? Yes. Therefore, you can't remove the thing you don't want. So how do I eat it? Very simple. Just eat what you do want. You know, that one's not so hard. You just go and you like the almonds, take the almonds out. Take whatever you want. Then if you're doing that, you have all three. You're using your hand, the good from the bad, for immediate use. Now, if you want to just take a whole bunch of almonds out, let's say it's on Shabbos and you're going to go to a friend's house and he doesn't have any almonds. You know, that friend never has almonds. You always want almonds. He never gets almonds. And now you want to get some almonds. You're going to go over to his house. You're going to visit and you want to nosh on some almonds. And he just, you know, doesn't have any almonds. You go to you don't have any almonds either. So on the fruit, in the nut cocktail. Okay, I'll take 40, 50 almonds out of there. And I'll go to where my friend's house. That might be a problem because it might not be considered immediate use. Remember, it's got to be for immediate use. So therefore, we've now expanded the issue here. It's not just junk that you're separating. It could be something that's fully edible, but you don't want it now. And since I don't want it now, that has the status of psolet, and that will expand the issues of what we're going to have to be concerned about. You know, let's say you've got a number of foods that are mixed together, some that you want, some that you don't want, let's say in a cholent. Let's say you really hate potatoes.
I like eggs.
In a cholent. Okay, whatever. But you like everything else about a cholent, but you hate potatoes. But, of course, your wife or spouse likes potatoes. So the cholent has potatoes in it. Or you're on a diet this week. So you shouldn't be eating cholent at all. But anyway, you justify it by not eating the potatoes. So you want now that's all good stuff. You got beans and meat and potatoes. That's all good stuff. So you're going in and what's the easiest thing? Let me just take the potatoes out. The potatoes for you is refuse, as it were. So you can't eat it by taking the potatoes out. You got to... See, it flies here because it wants to learn Torah with us, right? So what you got to do, you got to negotiate by going around the potatoes and eating without the potatoes, okay? So that's the next rule. Okay, now there's an interesting question, and here we got the Sfardim being lenient again. What if you have two foods, you're going to separate them, and you don't plan on eating either of them right now? They're two good foods, but you don't plan on eating them right now. Is there an issue of separating? Because normally it's like separating what you want against what you don't want, because you're usually doing something now. Here, I'm really not doing anything now. It's for later. So if there are two foods, meaning both are desired for us, there's a dispute whether one is allowed to separate for later use. I want to separate it now, and later, you know, I'm separating a bunch of things that I want here and a bunch of things there, and later on I'll deal with it. So here, Ashkenazim have to be strict. Sfardim can be lenient. Okay, now here's an interesting case. Let's say somebody gave you a bowl of hot soup with something in it. Let it be rice, let it be lentils, or bigger options, you know, bigger things. It's all mixed up in the cereal. And you really wanted to have the soup without the rice, and you'd like to take the rice out of the soup. Okay. But you're going to eat the rice during the meal, though. They're giving you the soup, so you want to take the rice out, put it on your plate, you're going to have the soup, and then you're going to eat the rice afterwards. So it's permissible to separate a food that's not desired now, but desirable for later in the same meal from another food that is desired right now. That you can do, as I gave the example, removing rice from the soup it is in to be eaten later during the course of the meal. That is considered not really separating the bad from the good, because it's all being eaten in the context of this one meal. So, you know, you got, did you think of a good example? How about an Oreo cookie when you're a kid? I mean, even, or you're an adult, but nobody's watching. You wouldn't do this when people are watching. Right? You know, some people, when they get the Oreo cookie, what do? They take away the cream, they put it aside, and then you have the cookie, and then you have the cream afterwards, or you take the cream for, right? You know what I'm talking about. Now, we would never do this in public in front of people. It's not presentable, but, You know, there's people who like to do that, right? So let's think about this. You know, if you're separating the bad from the good, that's a problem. And if you don't plan on eating it at all, it's really a problem. Let's have an Oreo cookie. You hate the cream. You just despise the cream. So you just take the cream and you scrape it off and throw it out. Bing, 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 bing. Can't do that. Can't do that. But let's say you love the cream so much you just want to have it last. Right? So you take the cream off, you put it on your plate, and I'm going to eat the cookie. And you know, I might even do three or four of these, you know. And I got five Oreo cookies, and I'm just going to, each one I'm going to just take the cream off and eat the cookie. And was I the only one who did this as a kid? No, I don't eat them anymore. I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. But anyway, and now you got all this cream. Ah, now geschmack. Now I go after just have the cream alone. So you could do that because it's in the same meal. That's the point we're trying to serve. So you begin to see how these laws are starting to be very invasive in everything we have to do. So here's a few more examples of, we're only dealing with the first idea of removing the bad from the good. Yeah, let's do the examples first, and I'll take your question. Okay, it's permissible to remove a sticker, label, or foil stuck to a challah. Sometimes when you bake a challah, a little bit of foil on it, as long as it is done right before eating, because you want to be able to get to the food. And I don't want to eat an orange that's got a sticker on it. So it's not like I'm really, you know, separating it. It's just, it's covering it, as it were. So you can do that. So let's say you're, what other foods have stickers on them? Well, lately I'm eating apples. Let's say you're making an apple salad. Apples are in the fruit salad. Okay, so you want to move the peel off. Okay, you could do that, but you got to do it before eating. In other words, you're preparing this salad right before the meal. And then you could do that. Okay, one may remove, okay, said this one already, honeydew or other melon seeds, which are concentrated in the center of the fruit if done right before eating. See how everything's got to happen right before the meal. This is what you want to hear now, and I really should have put it in the other section. I don't know why I put it here. It's not what you want to hear. I'm sorry. A knife isn't considered a vessel designated for borer and may be used to peel. So if you, let's say, want to peel an apple, want to peel an apple. You can't use an apple, according to many. Some say you can't. But anyway, a knife is not considered a specialized utensil. And therefore, if using a knife to peel something, that's okay. One may remove a stem from a fruit right before eating. Same idea. It's permissible to crack a nut with a nutcracker. Because why? Because you're not really separating anything yet. Right? Does the nutcracker separate the nuts from the nut? No, it just cracks open the nut. Now, once it's open, now you may have an issue of separating. So, but you could do it. How would you do it? You would take with your hand the nut, that's the good from the bad, and you'd eat it immediately. That's what you could do. But the nutcracker is not, don't think the nutcracker is not the specialized instrument that's separating the nuts from the shells. It's not doing that. A candy wrapper got stuck to the candy. One should only remove the wrapper right before eating. Because, again, you can't get to the candy. That's only if it's stuck. If it's not even stuck, then you're not really even separating it. But sometimes they're stuck. So stuck, you have to do it before you eat it. Okay, similarly, well, how about peeling? It's permitted to remove an edible shell or peel from a food as long as it's done by hand, or something we'll talk later on that's not a specific instrument, and immediately prior to eating, such as eggshells, onion peel, potato peel, banana peel, sausage peel, melon peel, peanut shell. All these things, you may remove them by hand immediately prior. However, I'm not getting into another area. That's going to be another major topic. So don't think, oh, the rabbi said I could peel an egg on Shabbos. That's what I could do. Well, you can. But I'm not talking about the next problem you have. What's the next problem going to be? What do you do with the shells? What do you mean, what do I do with the shells? We will see when we learn the laws of muktzah. Muktza means there are a number of items you're not allowed to move because they really have no function and no purpose. So when you peel an egg, all right, a hard-boiled egg, where are you putting the peels? Well, now you're sitting, let's say, at the kitchen table. You're peeling your egg. You're putting the, you're peeling it, putting the peel here. I got a nice pile of peels. Can't move those peels. They'd serve no function on Shabbos. They serve no function on Shabbos. So we'll have to learn, what are you going to do to be able to deal with it? Okay? But, so that's what you got to realize. The simplest thing is, as you peel it next to a garbage can, that's going to be the easiest solution, and just put it there. There's other methods. But anyway, the only reason I'm bringing it up is you have to realize that, you know, you're not out of the woods just because you can peel it. Now you have to deal with what's left. You crack a bunch of nuts. What are you going to do with all the nutshells and all these other things? I don't know if you always want to do everything right next to a garbage can. So we'll see, there's other ways out, but I'm just raising the issue. Don't worry, you don't have to know everything in one night. But to know how, you see, all the laws are very interrelated. So it's really a beautiful thing. As you're going through eating on Shabbos, you are knowing so many different laws of Shabbat, and Hashem gets a lot of pleasure knowing that you keep thinking. This is one way of thinking about Hashem the whole Shabbos. Is this okay? Hashem, is this okay? Can I do this? Can I peel it? Yeah, you can peel it. Okay, thank you. What is the peel? Oh, I'll look at my notes. What do my notes say? So he keeps you connected with Hashem all the time. Okay, this is... What?
To other peels?
I'm sorry?
Just the egg peels or
fruit? Any peel.
Like the any
banana peel. Banana peel, same thing. So you have to know how to do it. Well, the simple thing with a banana peel is, you see, once it's in your hand, you're allowed to put it somewhere. So just put it in the garbage. You could, even if you're like at the... at the dining room table. So you've peeled your banana. Okay, if you're going to put it down on the table, there's a good chance it's going to have to stay the whole Shabbos over there. But there's other ways. But I don't want to go there now because I don't want to mix in muktza with this. It's a whole separate section. When we get to muktza, it's going to take about 5 sessions or so to get through muktza. But just know this is something. What are you going to do with chicken bones? All these other things. It's a whole issue. There's ways to get rid of it. There's ways, but you just got to know how to get rid of it. I'm only bringing it up not to upset you, but just to make you really excited to keep coming and to say, well, when are we going to learn about muktza? So we'll get to it soon. We'll get to it soon, but we have to deal with this first. Okay, this is all basically that first area of that first rule. See how much ground we're covering over here? Is that it's got to be ochel from the psolus and not the reverse. All right. Now.
You got questions, though?
Yes, sir.
No, I wanted to ask about egg, but the one you can answer for that.
So again, I'm coming back to the fish.
So you can take the fish out from the bone.
So you can take the fish out from the bone, but you can't take the bone out from the fish.
Unless you already know what one of the unlesses is. When you're taking the bone, you're taking a little bit of fish with the bone.
Yeah.
But that might be wasting some good fish. So you're taking the fish from the bone. When you're eating the fish, you're taking the fish, leaving the bone behind. Or, I don't know if you want to, you know, put the whole thing in your mouth and then spit out the bone. Okay, I don't eat this fish, you know. I never buy fish that's got bones, not even on Shabbos. I don't want to deal with it. It takes too long to eat it. That's what I do. But anyway, so you have to eat differently on Shabbos. So the Indians have gefilte fish? Was that an Indian dish? So what kind of fish were you used to eating?
We buy salmon, the fillet.
Those are deboned.
Yes.
Yeah. When you buy from Costco, they're deboned.
Yeah.
So you buy deboned fish.
Yeah,
it costs extra. It's L'Kavod Shabbos. Well, usually you don't have one, so just leave it. Work around it.
Right.
Work around the bone. Work around the bone.
But if it goes in your mouth, you can also separate your mouth.
Yeah. That's it. If it goes in your mouth, you can take it out right away. That's for sure not a problem. Skin of...
Salmon skin again, you can't take it out. You have to take out the salmon from the skin.
Right. Well, usually the skin's on the bottom.
But you take it out.
Usually it's on the bottom anyway, so you just leave it.
Yeah.
Right, leave it. Okay, now, you're going to be excited now.
Here we go.
Clarification of the second condition. Okay, it's forbidden to use a sieve, strainer, colander, perforated spoon, apple corer, or any of those types of things, even if it's for immediate use. Even if you're taking the good from the bad, you can't use a specialized instrument. A utensil like a fork is permissible if it's used as an extension to one's hand. In other words, that's the whole point. When you eat with a fork, it's not a utensil for separating. It's an extension of your hand, and you don't want to get your hands dirty, right? Or let's say a spoon, or in order to pick up a liquid, right? So, of course, you know, if you've got something in the soup, I had to take the fly out with my hand. No, a spoon is not known as a separating utensil. You take a big spoon that has soup and fly, throw it out, and that's good. So you could use anything that's an etiquette way of extending your hand, which is commonly done by people, that is not considered a specialized utensil. However, but you got to make sure it's only being used for that and not as a separator, because you could theoretically use a fork to get something that's a little thicker to separate it for something a little thinner to separate. Can't use the fork to actually separate something. Okay? We'll see. That's like... you know, so when you're taking, you got the meat and you got and the fish and the bone. So what I'm taking the fork to take the fish that I want to eat. But if you'd be using that fork in a way to really separate it, then the Ashkenazim say you can't use it to separate. It's got to be more like your hands. Well, Sephardim even allowed to use it as a separator. They've been allowed to use it for that. Now, the question is, what about a peeler? It's a big argument amongst the poskim. What is a peeler considered? Because think about it. You're a sieve or a sifter clearly is sifting things.
It's
separating it. A peeler isn't so clear in halacha because, yes, after you peel it, you've separated the peel from the apple. But really what you're trying to do is just take it off as opposed to sift and separate. You understand? It's like in the way. So it's a big discussion amongst the rabbis. So, of course, you get three options over here. Some say, if you want to be strict, that using a peeler is an issue of using a tool designated for borer and is prohibited to use. There are those who say not to use it. That's more on the stricter side. Others, many permit it using it when the peeler is, not the peeler, oh man, when the food is edible. When the peel is edible, not the peeler, when the peel is edible. In other words, so tell me what's an edible peel in your mind?
Apple. Cucumber.
Cucumber, yes. Cucumber, for kids it's not, but for adults it is, right? So if you're peeling the apple peel off the apple, many consider the apple peel edible, and then you're not really separating bad from good. So therefore, they're more lenient when it's an edible thing. And others permit a peeler under all circumstances. So you can pick your choice on that. If you want to be lenient, you can use a peeler to those who are strict. So now, Robin is happy now, right? So now clearly you can always use a knife, spoon, fork, common silverware being used to do what you need to get done. Okay? Now we're going to work on the third condition, and that is what? Right, immediate use. Okay, what falls into that category? It's only permitted to separate with intent to eat the food immediately, while it's forbidden to separate with intent to eat the food after some time, even within the same day. It's not allowed. Separating before a meal for the time it takes to prepare the meal is considered separating for immediate use. For example, if it takes one half hour, or but 1.5 hour to prepare for the meal, one may separate only within the half hour before of the meal. one may not separate and then take a few minute break before the meal. The general rule is, I'm prepared. Let's say you came home from shul. I'm preparing until we're ready, and then we're going to start eating. Or you're expecting people from shul to come home. They said they're coming home at 12:30, and it takes you an hour to prepare the entire meal. It doesn't have to be just, now there could be 10 different things you need to prepare. The first one you prepared may be sitting an hour until it's going to be eaten, but that's not a problem. I'm part of preparing the entire meal. Okay, but as long as it's not like, well, you know, they're coming at 12:30. I might as well prepare the meal at 9 o'clock, so I know I don't have to be worried, and then I'll be finished by 10:30, and I can relax. And then no, that you cannot do at all. Separating right before a meal is permissible, even if one will only eat the food later in the meal, which may be after several hours. In other words, let's say it's a 5-course meal. Okay. And let's say the last course is dessert. I don't know. And in preparing the dessert, there has to be a little bit of separating involved. You did it in a permitted way, but you know it's not going to be eaten for 2-3 hours. It's still okay. It's still called immediately before the meal. Because, you know, God doesn't demand that the people serving the meal have to stop in the middle of the meal and start preparing part of the meal. So you can prepare the entire meal. Now, you might want to prepare the dessert right before the dessert, because it might work out better to make the dessert taste better. But in terms of halacha, you can prepare it all in advance. Now, some say that the time limit for separating fruit from other food has a longer time period than separating food from waste. Okay, so in other words, when you're separating food from other food, let's say, well, food from real waste, that's the clear rules. Some are a little bit lenient when it's a food from a food. That, well, food from food, I could maybe separate it well in advance. Ashkenazim should not rely on this. And Sfarim also shouldn't, unless there's a great need. There's a real great need that you have to separate food from fruit in advance. They can rely on that leniency. Don't worry, we're going to get a stringency for the Sfarim in a minute. If one separate in order to eat immediately, and then changed his mind and decided not to eat. Now the question is, did you violate Borah or not? You can't separate it knowingly it's going to be for later. You're supposed to separate when you eat right away. So let's say you thought first, oh, I'm going to eat right now. And you go and do all your Borah that's allowed and the meal's ready. You know what? I'm not that. I'll wait another 25 minutes. So that's a big question if you violated Borah. Now, so what would that? What would the difference be then if you'd have to eat it? Right. Okay. But so therefore it's a debate. While others say it's permissible after the fact, some say, well, after the, since you were, when you'd made it, you thought you were going to do it. It's like me. That's the debate. Do we consider it? So in other words, now that you're, if you're not going to eat it now, will we say you've transgressed, or will we say you haven't transgressed? That's a debate that's not resolved. Ashkenazim are lenient on this one. So Ashkenazi doesn't have to eat it, but the Sephardim are stricter in this halacha, so therefore if you should at least eat a little bit on that. Okay, here's an interesting one here. Now, sometimes you're going to select for immediate use, but the use isn't eating. You'll see what I mean. That you cannot do. Let's say a selection may be made prior to immediate use, only if the immediate use is the primary purpose of that object. For example, one may not sort different mixed foods before storing them in the refrigerator. Oh, you know what my immediate use is? Storing them in the refrigerator. So let's say you've got leftovers, and now you want to put the leftovers in the fridge immediately, and now you're going to separate the types of foods that are there. Let's say this, you got to be, it's very interesting now. What you're going to see is you're going to be pre-planning over. Let's say you're serving foods and one of the main plates, on one plate, you're serving two totally different types of foods. And now you've got leftovers that you want to put into the fridge. So what are you going to want to do? Well, whatever. Let's say on the same plate, I don't know, I don't serve food a lot. So, but on the same, you got one type of food, another type of food, and they've been all, you know, mixed around, or different types of desserts. How about, let's say, different types of petits fours, you know, and they're much different one from another, right? So they were originally in two separate boxes. Now you're making a nice dessert thing, and now you put it on, and now you'd like to clean up, and you want to put one type over here and one type over there. That clearly you can't be doing. No, it's for immediate use because I want to immediately put it in the refrigerator. That's okay, but that's not called immediate use for eating. So even though there is an immediate use for it, but it's going to be immediate use for eating. Similarly, one may not remove the one may not remove the shell of an egg before continuing the process of making egg salad if one doesn't intend to eat the egg salad immediately after it's made. Yeah, I want to immediately have the egg salad put in the fridge. No, it's immediately eating the egg salad, not immediately after it's made. You follow? So I want to separate so I can immediately make the egg salad. I'm separating the shell from the egg. You know why? Because I immediately want to make the egg salad. Well, that's not enough. Are you going to immediately eat the egg salad after you make the egg salad? Then it's called immediately before eating the egg salad. But you say, listen, it's in the morning. Okay, Rabbi said I have to do it immediately. Fine, I'll peel the egg. I'll immediately make the egg salad. And now I'll put it in the fridge. Well, that's not the immediate we're looking for. We're looking for the immediate of eating. Okay. Now we've got explained all the three rules. Now we're going to discuss one's a repeat, one's not. What if you are stuck and you can't do borer? Is our way to get out of it when you're stuck? And you'll see a good example of it. So let's say we're going to find out a real interesting thing over here. What if you have a whole bunch of silverware? This is going to happen, could happen at different times of either before, during, and especially after a meal. You had a bunch of silverware is all in one spot, spoons, forks, this and that. And I'd like to put them away.
Randomly.
Well, no, I'm taking a knife out. Well, I can't because I'm separating. I can't. Well, I'm immediately putting into the drawer. No, that's not what we're not for that. You can't do that. Now, what do I do when I got all these things over here? Well, one thing you could do is you take all the silverware and just throw it along the table. Whew. Now they're all spread apart. Oh, I'm going to take and you got this knife over here. I'm going to take this knife and put this away because it's not mixed up. I'm going to take this spoon, take it with this spoon. Do you understand what's going on over here? When they're all in one, this little pile over here, then I can't just take one out and put it away. Now you see where this is taking us over here. Let's say you've washed the dishes after a meal. You put them all in the, what do you call it? The thing next to the sink. The rack. And they're all, you know, and I don't think the racks have accommodate. You could put all the forks in one part. All the silverware is going into one section here. They're all getting mixed up. Well, then how are you going to put them away? You're not. You're not. Not on Shabbos. You know, we already discussed the leniencies to wash them. Let's even say better. Let's say better than this. You know, let's say it's Friday night. You washed all the dishes. Now, you're on a real good Boy Scout or Girl Scout, and you figure it's early Friday nights now. So by the time you've finished eating, I mean, the meal's over, it's 8 o'clock, you're over. And you're going to have guests tomorrow for lunch. You had guests for Friday night and have guests for lunch. So you had a lot of guests, you washed a lot of dishes, and you're going to need all those dishes for tomorrow's lunch. And it's only 8:30. Tomorrow, you'd like to go to shul. You'd really like to have the table set before you'd go to shul. That's one less task you have to do. So you figure, okay, I put all the dishes, the silverware in the thing, and now I'm going to take them, and they've dried, and I'm going to take them out, and I'll set the table. Can't do that. Can't do that the night before. That's not for immediate use. Right? So what is it that I can do? It's not so easy. The only thing you could do, we'll talk about later, you know, it's not easy. You have to have a team over here. But if you want to be able to do this, well, you would dry, when you wash one spoon, dry it, put it on the table, or put it in the drawer where the spoon goes. You do one at a time, then you don't have a problem. You follow? you're washing one spoon, putting it away, you can do that. That's about, that might not, you know, be so practical. So you'll see, so now the only other way, now you see where this will fit in. Okay, but I'd really like to set the table. So, and if you go over to the kids, you take all the silverware, just whoom, throw it along the table there. And now I got them all separated already. They're not together to begin with. And now I just take one at a time, take what I want, and just put it in there. So that's, we'll talk more about that another time, but that is the, an alternative way. Okay? And the other one we mentioned already, taking off a piece of food along with the non-food is permitted, which we already discussed. Okay, now we have to talk about another important thing. What is called a mixture? In other words, how mixed is mixed that now when I take something out, I'm separating it from the mixture? It's possible things are not so mixed that I don't have a problem with borer to begin with. You see the issue. So it's going to depend on a number of factors. A group of identical items, number one, isn't considered a mixture and may be separated without violating borer. For example, I have 10 knives in the cupboard, and I'd like to select a knife from the knives. There's no borer because they're all the same. Like, you think, oh no, I'm really scared. I couldn't even take a fork off because I'm separating one fork from the other forks. No, all the forks are the same. So that's not a problem. You're separating something that's different from everything else. But let's get something that's a little bit more practical. How about you got a bunch of pieces of fish, exactly the same kind of fish. You made the same kind of whatever, salmon. And the only difference is, but it's all the same, but some sizes are a little bigger and some sizes a little bit smaller, but it's not a significant issue. So in that kind of case, since they're really all the same, it's not considered borer, even though you might particularly want some, but it's not really a big difference, so that's not an issue. However, if there's a difference in the species, taste, function, or quality in the foods, the group of items is considered a mixture, as we'll explain. The following are examples of groups that constitute a mixture, being that the items are different in some of the above respects, and then you've got to worry about separating. Cooked and baked apples definitely have different tastes. So if you have in one section a bunch of cooked apples, a bunch of baked apples, you'd have to follow the right rules to take the one you want, eat it right away, etc. You have to follow the rules. Boiled and roasted chicken are considered different tastes. Soup spoons and teaspoons have different functions. So you can't, even though spoons from spoons, but there's totally different kinds of spoons. Kitchen and table knife have different functions. Large and small plates have different functions. Spoons and forks have different functions. Matzah meal and matzah chunks have different functions. So whatever, just because it's the same type of thing, but there's still significant differences, you have to worry about the laws of borer. Something as having a different quality, if the undesired one is eaten only out of necessity, is still a problem. Let's say fresh and spoiled grapes. Even though it's all grapes, same kind of grape, but one's fresh and one's not. Cooked and burnt meats have different qualities. That's certainly. Now, here's an interesting one. What if only part of the fruit is spoiled? One may remove that fruit from a mixture of good fruits. In other words, however, an altogether rotten fruit may not be removed from a mixture of good fruits. Now, you're saying you got a nice fruit bowl, you got a bunch of whatever the fruit is, same fruit. But one is rotten. So you'd say, let's get rid of the rotten one. Can't do that. Can't do that. But let's say the rotten one, it's only a third rotten. But two-thirds is really good. Can you take it out? And why? Yes, because you were also removing with the bad good. No different than the fly in the soup. So you could do that. So even though it doesn't look great in general, but there's a good part of it that's okay, so then you could take it out. If a group of items of different size, in a group of items of different sizes or colors, okay, it depends. The difference in size or color doesn't make it a mixture unless it changes its function. Okay, So let's say chunks of matzah and matzah meal couldn't be separate because that's a totally different function. But if it really doesn't make any difference at all to you, you got a bunch of same kinds of cookies, some are red and some are yellow, then it really, as far as you're concerned, it doesn't really matter which ones I have, then that doesn't matter either. One may take items from a mixture of two different types, but be careful not to separate the different types by size. For example, one shouldn't assort a basket of apples and pears by separating by side. Oh, I'm going to put the big apples over here, the small apples over there, because that would definitely be separating. Okay? One may separate different items, some of which are more aesthetically pleasing from others, which are less aesthetically pleasing, as long as both objects are equally usable. So, you know, they're both edible, they're both good. One looks a little nicer than the other. You know, one looks a little, the taste will be the same. Let's say one apple's a little more bruised than the other. But basically, it's a good apple. It's not a spoiled apple, it's just a little bruised. Well, this one looks a little nicer. This one, that's not considered a significant difference. You don't have to worry about, so if you want to, you know, you want to make it look nice, you have a really nice guest coming, and you put the fruits platter down, you say, so if it's a totally, it's interesting, if it's totally spoiled, you couldn't take it out. If it's a little bit not so bad, you could take it out. Well, let me ask you one. What if you really see a really rotten apple? You know, your kid, you asked your kid to make the fruit bowl, and he made it fruit. He wasn't looking. It's a real spoiled apple right in the front. You're going to serve it to your guests. How are you going to get around that?
Some good apples around there.
But you can't get rid of the bad apple.
Yeah, but along with the bad apple, you can take some good apple also.
No, but the whole apple is bad. So now you can't move, right?
Yeah, so, we do consume, think that, you know, it's supposed to be good.
I'm sorry?
Your intention should be like, okay, maybe you're going to consume, maybe there is some good in it.
Yeah, but it isn't, but it isn't. So one thing you do is just, by a table, just tilt this bowl and have it all fall out, have all the fruits come out. And now, just take the ones you want, and then leave the one you don't want, because they've already been separated. That's a way to take care of that. Oh, you could move it now because you're not separating it from anything.
Even if you can't have any use from it, like a peel?
Well, I don't know if it's totally muktzah. I don't know if it's totally muktzah, but that would depend. It would depend. If it's really, really bad, then yeah, it would be a problem. So you do this in the kitchen or somewhere. Okay, we can go a little further. Now, what type of arrangement? Now, we talked about different types of things, if it's a mixture or not. But now let's talk about what type of arrangement is considered a mixture. And you'll see there's three possible arrangements of mixtures. One, a mixture can consist of disparate objects that are near each other. In other words, different things and they're really close together. Like a cholent. Lots of different things, they're really close together. Okay. That's not the chulent. That's the next one. Different things, but they just happen to be close to each other. Different items, but they're close to each other. Let's say different types of cold cuts. Let's say someone, one cold cut you like, the other one you don't like. A mixture's form when there's items attached to one another. That's like the chulent. Or items on top of one another also can form a mixture. There's three different ways of mixtures over here. However, if the items are readily distinguishable because of a clear and striking difference of consistency or structure, are not considered a mixture. This is a very important rule. Meatballs in sauce. Can you take meatballs out of the sauce? You might say, well, I want the meatballs, I don't want the sauce. But they're never considered mixed to begin with. Because they're really different in consistency and structure. Right, a meatball is a meatball, sauce is sauce. There's nothing to talk about over here. So therefore, if I want to take the meatballs out, I don't have to, that's not even an issue of Borer to begin with. So now we got to go over these three categories of these different types of mixtures. So let's see if we can get at least to items that are close. What do you mean items that are close? A group of objects are considered a mixture if the individual items lose their identity as individuals and the items are seen as a group and not individuals. For example, he's saying this is a cholent. Beans, barley, potato, and meat in a cholent. All right? Those are separate items and each one stands on its own. But here's a more common one. How about mixed nuts in a bowl? That's called a mixture, right? Different sliced fruit in a bowl. It's all mixed together. A pile of utensils, like we said before. That's a mixture. A platter of different types of deli is a mixture. Platter of different types of cakes is a mixture. So let's say you have a beautiful tray of pettifors. Okay, well, that's not really such a big problem. You just take the one you want. You know, then you're okay. But if you take the ones you don't want, you know what if you come over, your spouse, you go to the thing, you took six of them, you come out and say, here, I got six of them. Well, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. Then you got a problem. Eat the ones you want that. Okay, the greater amount of objects in a concentrated area makes the items form a mixture, right? Got a lot of things, it makes a bigger mixture. But the larger the objects, when you got big objects, then if just a few of them together, it can't be considered mixture. Got two apples and an orange in a big bowl, I wouldn't call that a mixture. If you got 30 apples and 30 oranges in one big bowl, then I would call that a mixture. See that? So it's a little bit tricky to know what that is. If the group of objects is possibly a mixture and it's unclear, well, I don't know, is this enough or not? Well, you're dealing with a biblical transgression, so we have to err on the side of caution. We're strict to consider a mixture not to do borer. Here we go again. A totally rotten fruit among good fruits constitutes a mixture. And so one may not remove a good fruit if one doesn't intend to eat it immediately, even. So let's say you want to take the good fruit. I'm taking the good fruit from the bad fruit. That's fine, but you better eat that good fruit right away, or it looks like you're separating the good from... However, one may remove a fruit that's surrounding the fruit that's adjacent to the rotten fruit. You go two fruits over, then that's not considered next to that fruit at all. Okay, I think we're going to have to stop it here. We got 7 pages done. We got another, 5 to go. Okay, so next week we'll finish this. We'll get through all possible examples. You might be thinking of possibilities now that you have some information here. So if you have any specific items you want me to address, maybe email me. Well, you didn't talk about this, and that. Can we do this? Because now you're going to think about things you do at home. Maybe this is going to be, so we'll try to make that relevant and maybe start some new ideas.